It's time now for Alaska Tracks, an oral history of Alaska people and their way of life, celebrating the rich heritage, wild landscapes, and deeply rooted stories of Alaska past. Alaska Tracks, brought to you by Frontier Outfitters and Century Hardware, Ginger Oram with Crown Real Estate, Interior Welding Extreme North Trailers, and Mont Saw Shop. And now your host, respected wildlife biologist and outdoorsman, Randy Zarnke.
Good afternoon, Fairbanks. This is Randy Zarnke, your host for another episode of Alaska Tracks. Our guest for today is Susie Charlie, who was raised in the village of Old Minto on the Tanana River. This interview was recorded in Susie's home in Minto. Family and friends came and left throughout the interview. You will hear conversations and sounds of food preparation in the background. A couple of explanatory notes for listeners who may not be familiar with the Native word usage. Back in the day, Natives avoided saying the word bear. Instead, they said big animal. You will notice that Susie shifts back and forth between these two terms. Susie often refers to her husband as old man. In the Native usage, this is not a term of disrespect. Let's get started with the first segment of our interview with Susie Charlie, where she tells about making her own tents and fishnets, and also about moving the village of Minto from the Tanana River to its current location.
Right now, if they'll go out, I can't do much. Mom, you'll go with us? I don't want to say no, because before my husband died, he told me, do everything you can with those kids. Teach them. They'll need one of us, he said. We never used to leave our kids home. We're too busy with them. We can't leave them home. I never used to get babysitters. I used to take care of my kids myself. After my son died, my husband just quit on everything. It was too hard on him to lose our son. He was the one who provided for us. He used to fill up our freezer with everything. We don't worry about going out because he done it. My old man told me, you have to work with those boys. He told me, you know what to do. Even Rudy Wheel, he's staying with my granddaughter. Grandma, you'll go with us. The elders in the village, they tell me, stay home. I tell them, I can't refuse my kids. While I can move around, I can go with them yet. Well, you're having heart problem. I tell them, yeah, but it don't worry me. I tell them, I got medicines for it. I tell them, I'm not afraid. You got to have faith in God. One time, too, we had no traps. Do you know what's rawhide from moose skin?
Mm-hmm.
We make snare and we sit on where we see mink go in and out. We caught two mink in rawhide snare. We learned something there too. My auntie tell me try it like that. She say you gotta make it small cause it'll slide right through. It choke it right away or it didn't even fight that snare look like it just choke right away. We tell those kids about it. We see them, they sit links near that kind with rawhide to it, and that link just chew them. My two boys, Junior and Chucky, they sit fishnet. So the next morning they get up, our fishnet was gone. That stick they put was green, and the beaver chewed it. Just let that fishnet loose, and it float into brush right below our cabin there down on the river. Say, well, Junior, he'll have hard time to chew this. He say he get rawhide, and he tie that all the way back to the brush, way back. When they get up, they went to their fishnet. They couldn't wait to check their net. To my watch, you catching a fish? No, but we caught a lot of sticks. He caught one beaver. It just tangled up in that snare.
When you first started out, did you live in tents, I imagine?
We used to stay in tent, no cabin. We burn wood, but we burn kerosene or candle. Out trapline, no gasoline. Light. Candle we make if we catch bear, we use that grease, we braid it and make light out of it, but it's smoky. A lot of smoke, but just while we eat or cook, we'll leave the light on. We learn everything the hard way, not easy. Right now they have cigarette lighters and things you could just burn. Us, we never used to go without matches.
How many years did you use the tents?
We make our own homemade tent. We never use no white men. I make tents yet. It's nice and warm.
Is that because you wanted a different design or because it was less expensive?
Well, that's the way we were brought up in our tents. Everybody stayed in tent in winter time down Old Minto before they get cabins. Wherever we're gonna go trapping or have camp, we put up tent. And it's well protected, it's winter time. Unless if wolves go there and want to wreck up, but they don't do that. We leave something around. They tell us wolves are scared of snowshoes. If you leave snowshoes up, they wouldn't bother. Wolf never did bother our camp.
But then did you eventually build cabins on the trap line?
Mm-hmm. We had cabin down 7 miles. It cave in right now. We got cabin down our fish camp. It's like a home down there. Of course, we got everything there. We got cabin, smokehouse, kitchen. We got everything. It's a nice little cabin, 16 by 14.
And back then, I imagine essentially everybody in the village trapped in the winter.
Oh, yes, everybody had camp all the way out towards Murphy Dome. People used to trap.
How would you decide what area you'd trap and what area I would trap?
Well, we all got our own land.
And did you trap specifically for wolves ever?
We caught wolf, and we caught it in lynx snare. I think we caught almost everything. I caught bear and snare too down our fish camp. Boy, that bear come. It sneak too. I tell my old man, I'll set snare way over there. We're going to leave camp a while. We leave fish hanging in smokehouse. And I find some old lynx snare, so I set two together like that. He broke that other one off and got caught in the other one. He died in that other snare. When we come, it was just swelled up, sour. When my old man come, we tell him, we caught that bear, I tell him, and he say, oh, he said, we'll skin it. We cut and you could just think air just come out, sour. So they put it on tarp and they drag it in, they put it in boat. He say, we'll throw it off, way down. We'll set our fish net. We didn't have our fish wheel, then we set fish net. We set fish net, and then he said, we'll stop for wood. We always had something to do for what we'll need. We get wood, we went home, and they said, they'll check net. I tell them, I'll stay home. Well, we got cabin on island. I tell them, I'll cut fish while that. They come back, and they bring washed up full fishnet. We used my sister-in-law's camp. It was good fishnet place.
Did you prefer the fish wheel over the net, or was it just that the net worked good in some places and the wheel was better in other places?
We had one place that we'll catch fish. While people long catch fish, we had a good spot. My old man used to measure, and he could tell where there's gravel, and fish like that gravel. It's probably still like that right now. We just never built fish wheel. We were planning on building fish wheel this summer, but they got work to do. Nobody to do it.
In the early days, did you make your own nets?
Yeah, I make my own net. We get them canoe canvas, they call them thick canvas. We used to
get apart
and twist it.
How long did it take you to make the net?
2 months. So I have to do my own twisting and fixing it. Right now we can buy twine and fix net. When we were to Bishop Mountain 5 years ago, down below Galena, we went down with students. we work with those students, and this lady that she knows how to do everything from Huslia, Marie Yaska and Madeline Williams. They tell me, Gunna, they say, Gunna means friend. We don't know how to start fishnet, they say. You know how to do it? I say, I think I could. So I tell them, we measure a hand. I tell them, what kind of net? All mixed, they say. Whitefish, dark salmon. I never make king salmon net, they say. I don't know about dark salmon, but I make whitefish net. Well, just start it off, they say, and we'll make it different sizes. So I start it for them, and we make it 30 down this way. 30 oh, stitches, like.
I see. Hand widths.
It's long enough to us, 30. Right now, it's more than that. Every time I see them, they tell me we're still using the net. First thing we catch whitefish, the small side, the big side, they go right through it. I mean, we got something that you started off with, and we still got it.
When you were younger, did you travel to some of the other communities around, or was that just too hard and too far?
I never even went to Fairbanks. The only place I went was Nenana. Can't go around. Just boats. Not everybody had boats.
And you lived in the original Minto Village, or old Minto.
I was born in Minto, 1928, and I'm still in Minto. I wouldn't leave Minto.
Was it hard for you to have to move from that location to this location?
1969, we keep having flood in old Minto. People got tired of it. So they had meeting among elders. So we had a lot of elders, a lot of middle-aged guys. They pick out committee. They pick out Torchagget, they pick out Chattanooga, they pick out right there, and down this way on the creek. Four places. And they pick out right there, because there's a good fishing place in all the lakes. There's Catalina, there's Chattanooga. They could fish in down this way. So that's where they choose right there. We all stayed in Kent when we first come over here. They started to build those houses.
What time of year did you move from the old village to here?
We moved over here in August. Everybody moved over. We were last one down there because the teachers were staying down there. So we let our kids go to school.
Were you happy with the decision to move here?
We didn't. We weren't happy with right there.
What did you like about the old site better than here?
It was good for us.
The one advantage I would think of being on the Tanana was perhaps better fishing?
Easy to go out from right there. So we'll just go in a way, hunt, go for berries. Lots of berries around here. All kind of berries.
Around here or the old village?
No, right on here. You just go in boat and you'll pick blueberries. You go back this way, the airstrip, it's one of our cranberry patches. We done right when we move here.
Fascinating stories from a woman who lived the true subsistence lifestyle. Let's take a break here for a word from our sponsors. Please patronize our sponsors. They support us and we support them. Now back to our interview with Susie Charlie.
If you had to pick a favorite place in the Minto region, where would that be?
Well, we still got that old Minto. Everybody say if they want to, they'll go back to old Minto, and I think that too. Just because we used to work hard. We used to burn wood. No, nothing about oil, nothing but running water. We pack our own water, we cut our own wood. We didn't have lights. I was working at the school down there, and I bought a little generator. We were first one had TV. Today, I'm sorry. I'm sorry because I didn't know it. Our house get full every night watching TV, but just for a couple hours, them little generators, last gas. Mm-hmm. When we don't fill it again, we just tell the kids they got to go home, go to bed. But right now, everybody got their own. Mm. They got everything. They got something in their ear, and that's why they don't want to learn nothing. You know, after all that, kids have trouble with their eyes, too much pop, their teeth. We never had that long time ago. I never used to hardly eat candy or drink pop. I didn't know nothing about them. No. I didn't eat a lot of things when I was a kid.
That was probably better.
Better, yeah. We used to work hard, keep exercise. After we're over here, we start to get our checks, and we get that longevity, and we get different check. We just don't work like we used. Right now, I sew, I make slippers, gloves.
Fur sewing?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I make hats, boots, baby booties. I sure made a lot of boots this winter.
Do you remember any years when there weren't many fish and
yeah, 1957, I think. No fish. We stay in fish camp. They got dogs, nothing to feed dogs. And my father-in-law say, you guys don't have to stay on the river. Go to Fishville. So my brother-in-law, Neil, he moved us over. We all move over the family. We set net, boy, we started to catch fish. Feed dogs, good. We had trouble with mink that time too.
Trouble? Yeah. What kind of trouble?
I mean, they were bothering. They were hungry. They just bothered the camp. And then weasels. They were in them cache. They were just bothering.
Was it before trapping season?
Yeah,
oh,
in
okay.
September.
Oh, okay.
Kids try to club them, and we hear them making noise. And they go in then. Some mischief kids, they dig them holes, try to get them weasels. They stay under.
How about any years that you had a hard time getting moose?
Oh yeah, we have that too. Long time ago, they used to take 3-4 days before they find moose track. From Old Minto back to Livengood, that's how far before they find moose track. And when they find moose track, they'll go follow the tracks till they catch it up. It was like that a long time ago. Right now, everything is different. You just go out a little ways and abuse.
What do you think has changed that has caused the moose population to increase?
I don't know. We always ask Neil, because he's the oldest. Before, I used to ask my old man, because my father-in-law used to talk to them lots. And Neil said, a long time ago, the animals, they just never come around on here. You'd be lucky if you see moose track. Right now, we're afraid of moose on the road because they're just anywhere. He said, never used to be like that. He said, he never thought it was ever going to be like that because it's just different. Everything is different. But we keep saying we don't know how fishing will be. We hear fishing is pretty bomb. It's not as good as it was. I tell my kids we don't know how fishing will be. We got to put away what we could. We don't know how moose season will be. We don't know how things will be.
Did you ever have any particularly dangerous situations?
One time me and my old man, we were checking traps. We had 7 dogs. Before we know, that rope broke. Snubbing line, they call it. We just bump a tree, bust up the sled. We didn't get hurt though. Mm-hmm. My husband was limping. We had to tie the dogs up, and he had to go look for birds right away. They never wait. He know what to do. Fix that sled back. They used to do that a long time ago. They didn't wait. Repaired right away with canoe too. One time canoe float away and we just never find it. The whirlwind just lift up that canoe and try to watch where it went, and it went so far, and then it flowed away, and they never found it. Long time after that they found it, it was all filled up with water and everything, just rot. So there's things like that. I remember this old woman cried because she missed her canoe. She lost her husband. It's all she had to make her living with her canoe. We used to use canoe all the time.
So the message there is that people were always prepared to either build or repair whatever equipment they had?
Right now, nobody tried to make canoe or nothing. No woman's tan moose-skin right now. Long time ago, everybody used to tan their own moose-skin. No more. I got beaver skin I should tan, but I can't. Everything I got to watch myself. I'm not like I used to. I used to haul meat, I used to haul wood, to dogs, I used to get in a woman's race.
And why don't people tan the moose hides anymore? Is it just too much work?
I don't know. They just don't believe in that. The other day they caught moose, my grandkids, and I said, boy, if it's a long time ago, we'll get that skin. I told them, I'll get it, but I don't want it to spoil. I said, I know, if it's hot, I can work on there. And yesterday, Anna Frank told me, you should have got that moose skin. We'll work on there. They're going to have culture camp pretty soon. And she said, we'll take it down there. We could throw it in the freezer. I said, I never thought of that. She said, we'll work on that. All you need is the tools. And I said, I got all the tools to work with it.
Did you have any other interactions with people from any of those agencies like Fish and Game or Fish and Wildlife Service?
One time, me and my old man, we went down and we made tea. We were just ready to eat. And he fried fish guts, eggs, liver. Somebody was walking up from down the bank. We didn't even hear his boat. It was Fish and Game. We didn't even hear you land, I tell him. I do more talking to my old man. Oh, I ran it slow, he said, I tell him. Oh, you thought you was going to catch us with something? I tell him. No, he said. I tell him, oh, and I tell him, you're in time to drink tea. You want some tea? No, thank you. He sit there and talk to us, ask us questions. And my old man tell him, have some pike wieners. Pike guts, he slice them. And no, thank you. What you want? I tell him. You need to see us about something? I tell him. Well, I see your boat here, so I land. I tell him, well, this is our camp. I tell him, we just come down and check the camp. We're not fishing, we're not doing anything. And I tell him, we got our fish permit. Is there something you want to talk to us about? I tell him, I could show it to you. I keep it in jar. We got our hunting and fishing license. I tell him, you could see that. Oh, I just stopped by. He said, you sneaked in, but you didn't catch nothing, I tell him. And after that, he said, can I have a bite of your fish wieners? Him, go ahead. He clean out that frame. Tastes good. It's delicious. I know what to cook now, he said. I learned that from you guys.
Is there any way for you to kind of sum up what your life in the outdoors, your hunting and fishing and trapping has meant to you and your family?
Well, like I say, right from the time we got married, we started off pretty poor. Didn't know nothing. But at the end, we got to know everything. We get to know animals. We find out how we could make a good living out of it. We never waste nothing. If we catch moose, we use everything for our dogs. We catch fish, we use everything. Only thing we never feed to dogs was fox. Mink, we cut out certain parts, we cook it for dogs. We use them for ducks. My father-in-law said, cut them up small. Ducks, they got strong bones. But some ducks know how to chew on bones. So trapping, fishing was just everything for us, subsistence. So we learned that too, and squirrel. We catch squirrel by mistake in our trap line. We never throw them away. Because there's a story about that too. When they had starvation, 1937, it's what people feed their kids squirrel. We knew all about that because my father-in-law used to talk to us and my brother. Two persons used to talk to me, and I still use it with kids right now when I teach. So I'm glad that I learned how to do all those things, and my kids know what to do now. But me, I just continue with my kids because my old man tell me, go with them. Somebody got to be with them. When we're both gone, it'll be different, he said. I still could hear my old man tell me, go with them. When they want to skin moose or something, they'll ask me, and I tell them how, because I used to see my old man do it. I learned from my old man, too, and, well, everybody learned from each other.
That brings us to the end of our two-part series with Susie Charlie. I hope you are as impressed with her grit and knowledge as I am. Join us again next week when we will hear from another veteran outdoorsman or woman on Alaska Tracks.
You have been listening to Alaska Tracks, a blend of interviews, storytelling, and firsthand accounts from Alaskans who know the land and carry forward the traditions of this remarkable state. Alaska Tracks has been brought to you by Ginger Orem with Crown Real Estate, Interior Welding and Extreme North Trailers, Rod Saw Shop, and Frontier Outfitters and Century Hardware. Join us next Saturday for another episode of Alaska Tracks, about Alaskans, for Alaskans, by Alaskans.